Hope you are having a good day. We're going to talk 49er football. But before I do, raise your hand. Raise your hand. If you have been caught,
allegedly,
with cocaine in your wallet, but then you say it's not yours. All right? My hand's not up. Chris, your hand up in there? Anyone else in this building? Have you ever been caught with anything in your wallet and then you say, oh, it's not mine? Like, how many people do you know? All right? Do you have a wallet? Okay, if you have a wallet, here's my second question. Do you know what's in your wallet? I think you would. If something's in your wallet that's not supposed to be in your wallet, do you say, well, gee, I didn't know it was in my wallet? How many people right now have something in their wallet that they're not sure of? Come on. Greg Hardy, what an embarrassment this guy is. What an absolute disgrace. All right, some guy that is not a disgrace, he does a great job covering the 49ers. The team that he covers was disgraceful on Sunday, the San Francisco 49ers. That would be Matt Barrows, our 49er insider from the B. How are you, sir?
They found a severed head in my wallet in 1986, and I got off scot-free. Wasn't mine.
Well, and that's pretty amazing, and the weight of that in your wallet did not slow you down at all, huh?
It was a big wallet, Grant. It really kind of put off my posture for a while there, stuffing that in my back pocket.
You know, I got to tell you, when you and I were on and then I was previewing this game, I said, well, the one thing I'm very confident of is that the defensive front of the 49ers will be able to handle the offensive line of Seattle. And, I mean, boy, was I wrong, and so were so many others. I mean, that to me was so surprising is the way the Seattle offensive line handled the 49ers.
Well, think of it this way. On the third play of the game, that's when Christine Michael, the running back, broke off that big touchdown run, and the 49ers were out of it from that point on. And the 49ers say that they were misaligned on that play. Well, the first offensive play for the 49ers was also a broken play. Carlos Hyde was lined up in the wrong spot. So, two of the first four plays of the game, the 49ers were not in the right spots. Tells you all you need to know. They were not ready to play the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday.
Boy, they sure were not. And, I mean, the thing got out of control in a hurry. And now we have very similar to what we saw last year, a very good week one performance, losing in week two but not looking bad last year at Pitt, very similar to what I saw in Carolina. And then what happened week three? Blowout against Arizona, blowout against Seattle. I mean, it's almost like a mirror image of last year to this point, is it not?
It really is. And in week four of last year, they came home and really laid an egg against Green Bay. Again, I know that I say this every week, but this is another test of who the 49ers are and whether they keep insisting that they're not last year's team, that they're better than last year's team. But the results and the statistics aren't supporting that. I don't think the Cowboys this year are as good as the Packers last year. So there's a chance to win this game. There's a chance to get that offense, which I think ranks 30 in passing offense, on track against a pretty, you know, mediocre to bad Dallas defense. So if you're not going to be able to do it this week, I'm not sure it's possible to get this thing rolling.
Help me out with Chip Kelly and Colin Kaepernick and his comments from a day ago when he was talking about, you know, Colin's not ready health-wise. I'm very confused. He's good enough to be your backup quarterback should your starter go down, but he's not good enough to start. Help me out with this.
Yeah, I raised the same question, Grant, and was severely tutted by Chip Kelly in the press conference. But, yeah, I mean, that's the situation. This guy, Blaine Gabbert is one play away from leaving the game and Colin Kaepernick being inserted. But it's not to the point, Chip Kelly says, where Kaepernick can kind of beat Gabbert outright because he's not to the level he was. He's not at the same strength. He's not at the same weight he was prior to his surgeries. So, that's why there's no quarterback competition right now. There's no quarterback controversy right now. And I think that's a convenient way of putting that off. I don't think that Chip Kelly is willing to give Gabbert the hook at this point anyway, even if Kaepernick were, you know, 225 pounds and at full strength. But it sort of keeps that that issue at bay, if you will, until a point where Chip Kelly is comfortable making that move. He doesn't want to make that move too quickly, because what if you take Gabbert out and then insert Kaepernick, and Kaepernick's not as good? That doesn't reflect very well on Chip Kelly, and it also takes away Chip Kelly's options. I mean, he doesn't have very many cards left in that deck if he goes to the switching starting quarterbacks this early. And that doesn't work out.
Was he terse with you? Did he embarrass you in front of everybody?
He was terse. He was terse.
Okay. To say it kindly, right?
To say it kindly,
well,
right.
Listen, you asked a question that every single person that was there and watching online would have asked anyway. I mean, that's just common sense. So, listen, I get the fact he's just coming off a devastating loss. I get that. We're talking with Matt Barrows, our 49er insider from the Sacramento Bee. I've got to read you this text, by the way, not to deviate. Someone just texted me on our station line and said, the NFL should make Greg Hardy watch the Capital One credit card commercial. What's in your wallet? that is very good timing. All right, so now the 49ers come home to take on the Dallas Cowboys. And I don't know what to expect from the 49ers anymore. I was so disappointed in what I saw. They took such a big step back. What's your read on this team right now with 5 days before their next game?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think that they're going to win this game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be close. But like I said, I think Dallas is, not a great team right now. They've got a rookie, a quarterback, and Dak Prescott has been awesome through three games. I think he's completing something like 66.7% of his passes, which is, a whole 10% higher than Blaine Gabbert at this point. That just shows you a guy who's making the right decisions, who's, not forcing things, who's throwing to open receivers. But, he's still a rookie. He's going to make a mistake at some point. And as I said earlier, that defense is not very good. So I think the 49ers, mostly a healthy team, are champing at the bit. They really want to get this going. They really still believe in Chip Kelly in this offense. And they're coming off of three games against very good defenses.
Right.
I mean, Carolina and Seattle are at the top of the heap. That's not an excuse. I mean, it just shows that the 49ers are not anywhere near that level. The question is, are they near the Cowboys level? And I think the answer is yes. Cowboys certainly are familiar with this offense, having faced it twice a year when Kelly was with the Eagles. So it's not going to be a surprise, but I think the 49ers will play better, and they'll come out of this game with a victory.
Matt Barrows, our 49ers insider from the Sacramento Bee. 3 weeks in the books. Are you more surprised that Los Angeles is 2-1 or that Arizona is 1-2? What surprises you?
Los Angeles not only 2-1. Los Angeles at the top of the NFC West,
right,
by virtue of their win over the Seahawks last week. So yeah, it surprises me even more after watching LA, struggle to a 28-0 loss. There's only been two shutouts so far this NFL season, and the Rams
have
one of them. That to me is the most surprising part of it. I think Arizona is still, after watching Seattle on Sunday, I'm not sure I can say this, but I still think that they're the most complete team in this division. I think the division as a whole might not be as good as its reputation, but Arizona, I think, still will come out, if not at the top, then real close.
Any injuries on Sunday from the 49ers that are a concern heading into this week?
Yeah, everybody saw Jimmy Ward go down, non-contact injury on a kick coverage play. Anytime somebody just kind of falls to the turf like that without being touched, you're very frightened that it's going to be an ACL or some other severe injury. And it's to his quadricep, and he's not on IR. The 49ers are characterizing it as week-to-week, which tells me that he's not going to play on Sunday. Which means that a first-time starter, either Rashard Robinson, a rookie, or Keith Reeser, a third-year player, is going to be making his first NFL start. So that'll be an interesting dynamic that player will have to go against Dez Bryant a few times. Obviously Dak Prescott, the Cowboys coaches, will be looking for those types of matchups.
Any thoughts? Because I know you have to cover this for the Sacramento Bee, but now Colin Kaepernick firing back at Donald Trump after Trump came down on him for, I believe he said, it's not a good thing, quote, I think it's a terrible thing. And, you know, maybe he should find a country that works better for him. Let him try. It's not going to happen. And then Colin fired back. I mean, how much do you have to cover that?
Well, Colin Kaepernick speaks every Tuesday, and there's a huge gaggle of reporters. The Bee would be upset with me if I shirked my reportorial duties. I just made up a word.
didn't cover that. Sounds good. I like that word. It's good.
Coin that phrase.
Yeah.
But he said similar things about Trump and Hillary Clinton. I mean, Hillary Clinton didn't escape his wrath either. He said both of those candidates are liars. And if you're voting for one of them, you're picking the lesser of the two evils.
Oh, my gosh. Well, hey, never a dull moment, whether the Niners are getting blown out or whatever. I mean, every Tuesday you got something to really look forward to. That will carry you through at least the Tuesday's the quiet day. It's the off day. Well, no, not anymore, right?
Well, no. Chip Kelly's the only coach in the NFL who has his team practicing on Tuesday. So it's an open locker room day, just like Wednesday and Thursday.
You know what? I was not aware of that. He's the only coach in the NFL, because I always thought Tuesday was around the league the day off. But that's not the case with him, huh?
Yeah, the players have Monday off.
Why does he do that?
On Monday, but they do come in and practice on Tuesday. And, Grant, they also have a fairly vigorous, I mean, very vigorous. It's not padded. There's no hitting. But on Saturdays, they're going full bore, and that's the only team that does that. I mean, this is the Chip Kelly sports science stuff that got very tiresome to the Philadelphia Eagles. The 49ers are on board right now, but again, you know, if the losses continue, you can only wonder how long that's going to last.
You're not hearing any complaints, any rumblings, you know, off the record from players?
No, it's quite the opposite. Everybody is happy with it. I mean, they're not long, grueling Jim Harbaugh-like practices. They're short.
Right.
But, you know, the Saturday session is usually literally a walkthrough. I mean, you're kind of walking around going over the plays. Every other team does it that way. This is, you know, you break a sweat, full, you know, one-hour practice. So it's new science. It's sports science. Chip Kelly says he's gotten it from Olympic track athletes. That's how they do it, and that's how the 49ers are going to do it this season.
Listen, I can't predict the future any more than you can, but I'll make a prediction, okay, even with that said. And that is, if the 49ers lose twice in the next 5 days starting on Sunday, I think that play, you're gonna start seeing a lot of empty seats come Sunday, October 23rd, when Tampa comes. You got Dallas on Sunday, short week, and then the Cardinals come in for Thursday night football. If the Niners lose those two games and don't look good doing so, this could be a very ugly rest of the season for the 49ers fans at Levi's Stadium.
Dallas played here in 2011, played at Candlestick Park. That stadium was, you know, if it wasn't half full of Dallas Cowboys fans, it was close.
Yes,
to that.
It was.
I'm predicting something very similar Sunday at Levi's.
No kidding. So you, wow. Well, stay tuned. As they say, it's always Dallas travels well no matter where they go. But you're right. I could see that being the case. Matt, it's always great talking to you. Aren't you happy that I didn't ask you what the environment was down in Los Angeles again 2 weeks ago? I just, you know, I didn't want to.
I wasn't prepared for that question.
You know what? I'll tell you.
I think we handled it pretty well.
Yeah, you know
we
what? I got to. I'm going to tell you what that is. That's when I'm doing the show from New York City, and I'm out with my umpire friends who were in town doing the Mets series, and we were out at Smith and Walensky's until 4:30 in the morning, and then I had meetings, and then I'm trying to do my show. So I just, hey, listen, it happens once in a while, Matt. I got to just call out myself for not being prepared to do my radio show that day. I have no excuse.
Day game after a night game. That's what we call it in the biz.
I love that. All right, we'll talk to you next week. Take care.
All right, see you, Grant.
All right, that's Matt Barrows. I love that. Day game after a night game. All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. And that was the truth. I was fried when I was doing that show. I mean, I was out the night before with two umpires who had done the Mets game that night against Atlanta. And then we went to this place on 3rd Avenue, or yeah, 3rd Avenue, Smith and Walensky's. They got a grill there called Walensky's Grill. And we closed it down. And so I got back to the hotel. Gosh, that had to be 4:30. And then had my broadcast meetings, went to the NBA Replay Center, then went back into the city to go downtown to do my radio show. And so I caught Matt a little off guard with that question last week. But, you know, Matt being the consummate professional that he is, all right, is was able to handle it with ease. All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. I want to update you on some important things going on in sports that have to do with the San Francisco Giants, because, as you all know, there are three teams that want to go into the wild card, and they're only two going to make it. And I got to tell you, boy, when you look at what's going on right now, all right, in the National League, the Cardinals have just started their game with the Reds after getting embarrassed last night. All right, so it's just the top of the first, so there's nothing to report there. Meanwhile, the Mets are playing the Marlins, and they're up 4-1 that ball game in the fourth. Of course, the Giants will send Matt Moore to the hill tonight against Colorado. So I'm going to keep you up to date on what's going on with Cincinnati and St. Louis. Again, the top of the first, one out, and a man on first for Cincinnati against Adam Wainwright. And the Reds already are coming out swinging the bat. They already lead 1-0, a double to left center field. And the Reds on the board first again, 1-0. That's unbelievable. The Reds came into St. Louis in a huge game last night and absolutely destroyed them. And here they are again in the first inning and already lead 1-0 with runners on second and third and one out. All right, let's get to Mike. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Grant, I'm blessed.
You're blessed? Well, I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, my wife and I got to go to the open house on Sunday at the Golden One Center, and I'm just totally impressed on that complex. That is just amazing.
Spectacular, isn't it?
We got to go. It's just unbelievable. The scoreboard is the size of the floor. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but the practice center, the locker rooms, the visitors' locker rooms with hot and cold running water and heat and air conditioning.
Well, no, not to be disrespectful, but I would hope that the visiting locker room would have hot and cold water and air conditioning. After all, it is 2016. You know, I mean, let's not get carried away here. I mean, it's a beautiful, venue, but I don't think we should come on the radio and brag that the visiting locker room has hot, cold water and air conditioning. I mean, come on now.
I just remember hearing the stories that they would turn off the heat in the locker rooms for the visitors.
Only in the Boston Garden.
Okay.
Never ever in Sacramento. That never happened in Sacramento. That was in the Boston Garden. That was the story of the Boston Garden.
But I can't wait for opening night. That place is just amazing.
Yep. Amen. Well, listen, I'm really happy that you had a chance to get down there on Sunday, and it is spectacular. It really is. It's just it's phenomenal. I'm very happy that you had a chance to check it out.
So, very high hopes for the team this year.
All right, man. Thanks very much. Appreciate
it. You bet.
All right, 339-1140, 800. I'm laughing because my buddy is behind home plate tonight in the Cardinals-Reds game. And I can laugh, and he just got completely hit on a foul ball right off his right shoulder. Oh, my gosh. I'm laughing because I was talking to him earlier because the playoffs start next week, and he's doing the playoffs. I said, man, I just hope you don't get dinged when you're behind the plate tonight. Top of the first, I look up on the screen, and there is a foul ball right off his right shoulder. Unbelievable. All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Oh, man. I get just the I got to tell you, man, you look at baseball, you look at the beating that the catcher's taking. No one ever thinks about the umpires. They get hit all the time back there behind the dish, and he got hit hard on that one. If you want to get in on the text line, you can do so at 44-1140. That's 44-1140. And, of course, you got the phone numbers as well. As the Grand Napier Show will continue right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. We continue right along here at 533. I hope you are having a fabulous day. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Let's get to Eric. Hello, Eric.
Hey, how you doing, Grant?
What's up?
Yeah, you know, I wanted to talk about the Raiders and what transpired last Sunday. And, you know, I didn't see a stellar performance by the defense at all. I saw a little better play calling on the offense, but what I was really taken aback by was normally when the officiating hardly ever goes towards the Raiders' way, and I saw a couple of really blatant pass interference calls that weren't thrown on the Raiders, and they were being thrown on Tennessee the entire game. And it was really surprising. I mean, I was pleasantly surprised it went in our favor that time. Normally it doesn't. I'll take the win, but I was really surprised that an away game that happened.
Yeah, I thought the Raiders definitely got their fair share of calls, which is something we don't normally talk about because it normally doesn't appear to be that way. But I think that's a good observation on your part, and I'm with you. The Raiders' defense, to me, has still got major issues. I mean, they allowed almost 400 yards of total offense to a bad offensive team. That would be a little alarming to me. Now, I know it's points allowed, which is the key stat. We get that. But, I mean, they played a bad offensive team. Let's not discount that.
Yeah, oh, of course. That's why I'm saying the defense didn't do anything that impressed me. It was same, course for par. They need a lot of work on defense. The Carr was looking a lot better this week. And so, I think the only play I really questioned was the fact that we didn't go for it on 4-1 and we gave them an opportunity to almost tie it up.
Thanks.
Had it not been for him missing that field goal, that would have been a different story maybe.
Thanks very much. Let's get to Bud. Hello, Bud.
Hello, Grant. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I was really shocked that the Raiders kept Tywan Jones on their team. And, he fumbles a lot. He tossed the game last year. He always fumbles kickoff returns. They seem to get him back. But now I kind of realize hopefully it's because they're going to get Marcel Reese back. I know they released him. Hopefully they'll sign him back for less money. Because Tywan Jones, it's not a matter of if. He's going to cost us a game. He's going to fumble. And why does he bring the kick out when you can get it at the 25? They've done the math. Before they started bringing it out at the 25, they did the math and said, why would you ever bring it out? The odds of getting past the 20 are way against. It's like 60% that you're going to get, not going to get to the 20. So why is Tywan Jones still on the team? He's going to fumble a couple of games away.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Signed Marcel Reese.
All right, appreciate it. Well, again, I agree with you about, if the ball's in the end zone, take a knee and get the ball to 25. I mean, I don't disagree with you on that. All right, if you want to call the show, you can. Again, before I had Matt Barrows on, it defies belief when you hear stories like this. It is like, you want to know why certain players, and I'm going to say players instead of people because this is a sports show. You want to know why certain players get in trouble over and over and over again and then try to blame it on other factors and other people, right? I mean, it's just unbelievable. Like, how often do you find yourself walking around with cocaine in your wallet, getting caught, and then saying, it's not mine. Greg Hardy got arrested, okay? The unemployed Greg Hardy, because nobody in their right mind would want him on the team. Oh, except for Jerry Jones, excuse me. I must put an exception to Jerry Jones, okay? The former Dallas Cowboy was arrested and booked on a charge of possession of a controlled substance, which was revealed to be cocaine, all right? And Hardy told police, He didn't know that his wallet contained a bag with cocaine in it. How about that? Hardy said he had been passing his wallet around at the party because, quote, he was paying for everybody, and that must have been when the baggie was put in his wallet. Let me ask you a question. Let's say you have a lot of money, and you have a lot of money in your wallet, and you go to a party, and you're going to pay for everyone. Are you going to take your wallet out of your pocket and just hand it around? Or if you're really going to pay for a party, are you not just going to take out whatever you think the party cost and give it to the person who can pay the bill for the party or reimburse the person? Are you going to take your wallet out and pass it around? No, you're not. All right? By the way, Hardy's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, declined to comment. Really? What's he going to say? Let's see. My client almost killed a woman in a domestic violence case, allegedly. He was found guilty once. Okay. Is he going to say, you know what? Yeah, my client is stupid. Yeah, my client is lying. Yeah, nope. The cocaine found in his wallet, of course, was not his. Because I got items, I got all kinds of stuff in my wallet that people put there. I got a wallet on me right now. Let me take my wallet out here. Let's see. Yeah, that's mine. That's mine. That's mine. Let me see this credit. Yeah, that's mine. That's mine. Let me see. Yeah, that's mine. Let me take out a couple of these cards here. Are these all? Yeah, let me see. One. Yeah, that's mine. Now, you know what? Everything in my wallet, I'm aware of what's in my wallet. I put everything in there. Hey, do you have anything in your wallet that was not put there by you? Just curious. Just thought that we would, you know, have a little conversation about Greg Hardy. Again, quote, he was paying for everybody, and that must have been when the baggie was put in his wallet. Because I don't know about you, all right? But if somebody's going to hand me their wallet at a party, and they're like, go ahead, take the money, I don't know about you, but I'm probably going to take the money, if it's being offered, and pass it to someone else. This has never happened to me, and I'm 57 years old. So, you know, call me maybe old-fashioned, but I've been to a lot of parties. I've never had anybody hand me their wallet and say, go ahead, take some money out of it. Like, that's never happened to me. I know it's probably happened to you, but it's never happened to me. You know? And I got to tell you, if I did do that, first of all, they'd be really disappointed because they'd only get about a dollar a piece. All right? But that's for another story. I'm just predicting. And again, I'm just making a prediction. If I was generous enough to pay for everyone at the party, when I got my wallet back, I find it hard to believe that there would be a little bag of cocaine in my wallet. I'm just making that wild prediction. I'm just kind of, I know I'm going out on a limb here. I know I'm going out on a limb. I know that if I handed my wallet out at a party because I wanted to pay for it, what is wrong with these people? Unbelievable. I got one word for Greg Hardy. Guilty. Guilty. Absolute guilty. What a disgrace he is. Of course, you know, don't forget about the interview with ESPN when he said he was, quote, an innocent man and denied he had ever put his hands on a woman. But, of course, the photos of the battered victim in this case, quote, pictures are pictures, and they can be made to look like whatever they want to. Yeah, you know what? Go listen to the 911 call. What are the, you know what? I'll tell you that I said this last year, and if you listen to my show every day, you know that this is true. I said last year that Greg Hardy should be in jail, that Greg Hardy is a danger to our society, and that he needs to be in prison. and he needs to be in prison. That's where he belongs. We'll be right back. This is Sports 1140 KHDK. By the way, Greg Hardy was released on a $5,000 bond, if you're keeping score at home. Just thought I would, you know, put that out there for you. All right, let's get to John. You're on with Grant Napier. Hi, John.
How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Yeah, I'd like to say it's a good thing he didn't keister that Coke. Otherwise, he would have probably told them he was passing his keister around the party.
Guy's an idiot. That's all I know. Guy's an idiot. Absolute idiot. Michael, you're on with Grant Napier.
Hey, it's good to hear that stand-up comedy side from you before. I'm driving along in commute traffic, and I have a feeling that a lot of us out here were rolling, laughing at that whole thing. And I was brainstorming what he could say, and I think he's going to say something like, well, he wanted to buy everybody's stuff for the party, and he only had hundreds in his wallet, and the price for the party was $950, so somebody put change back in his wallet of $50 in cocaine because they didn't have any money. And finally, I'm really looking forward to the Kings season. I'm wondering, is it possible that the Kings would run a point guard by committee, or could one of our new guys actually beat out what's-his-name who's suspended?
No. Darren Collison is the starting point guard. Now, he may be suspended by the NBA, and we're still waiting word. But I think he's the clear-cut starting point guard. And then, you know, they're going to be battling for the backup, and Ty Lawson is a candidate. Garrett Temple is a candidate. Jordan Farmer is a candidate. So, but no, Darren Collison is the starting point guard of the Sacramento Kings. Now, I'm not getting paid to coach the team. Dave Yeager is, but I don't think there's any mystery that Darren Collison is the team's most talented point guard. Now, I don't know what Ty Lawson is coming to Sacramento. Is it the Ty Lawson of a couple of years ago, or is it the Ty Lawson of last year? So, you know, let's wait and see, and that's what training camp is for. I go back 12 months ago when Rajon Rondo was, you know, came in with red flags and was coming off a bad year, and he had a very good year. So, you know, Ty Lawson's still in his prime. It's not like he is an old man. He's still very much in his prime, and if, and I underline if, he can return the form, the Kings are going to be a much better team because of it.
Oh, I agree. And keep that stand-up comedy coming. That
All
was
right.
great.
Thank you, man. I appreciate the phone call. 339-1140-800-920-1140. Hey, I was just, you know, trying to relate to a personal experience. Like, you're trying to be a good guy here and you want to pay for some things. I got to believe I'm not taking my wallet out and handing it around to everyone. I'm just, you know, making a little prediction there that if that situation ever were to happen to me, I probably wouldn't just hand my wallet around. All right, Richie, you're on with Grant Napier. Hi, Richie.
Oh, hey, Grant. I'm a longtime Niner fan, and just want to know what is the what's going on over there? Quarterback position, just what's going on? Seattle's whooping us. It's the same thing, you know.
They're not very. They're just not very good. I don't know what else to say. They're just not very good.
But it's been like that for a long time. I mean, they.
No, it has not been that. They come on now. They were in the NFC Championship game. You know, two seasons removed. So let's not say it's been a long time. That's not fair.
Yeah, I know. Okay, well, in the Super Bowl, they were nothing for the whole half. Remember that? Nothing.
No, they were 10 yards away from winning the Super Bowl. So I'm sorry. You're wrong on this. Now, they're bad now. I would agree with you there, Richie, but you can't say it's been a long time. If you want to talk about a long time, go ask the Cleveland Browns fans. They'll tell you what a long time is.
Yeah. It can always be worse. I understand. What do you do? They're going to throw Kaepernick in now? Or what are they going to do?
I don't think quarterback's the problem, Richie. I really don't. Thank you for the call. Gary, you're next. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Grant. Hey, I was talking to my son last night. I didn't watch any of the basketball during the Olympics. And he said that during the telecast, he heard that Cousins had lost about 30 pounds and was in amazing shape. Is that true?
I don't know how much weight he's lost, but he was in amazing shape last year when he came in the training camp down in San Diego. This is not a revelation. It's not like the guy comes in. Now, the first couple of years, I don't think he was in the shape that he needed to be, but I also feel like he was not aware of the type of shape that he needed to be, and now he understands. And so his weight was down last year. I thought he looked great last year. And then, unfortunately, as the year went on, I thought he gained a little bit more weight. So we'll see. You know, again, he's a big guy. Right, I saw him at the gym yesterday. He looked very svelte. He looked very strong. He looked great. So we'll see. We'll monitor him throughout the year and see if he gains the weight back. But, you know, he looked good last year. To me, he looks the same this year as he did last year when I saw him in training camp, and I thought he looked great last year.
Oh, I appreciate that. I was just thinking that, you know, if he's made that kind of a commitment to really drop that kind of weight and be in fantastic shape, that's another sign of, you know, perhaps a little bit more maturity and taking a little bit more leadership role and really being into having a new coach and getting excited. So,
well, here's what positive. I think. I have not talked to him about this, but here's what I would guess. Okay, he has not had the ability to play anywhere near a full season the last couple of years. And to me, if I've got some issues with my feet, I'm probably going to lose some weight to make those issues more tolerable. And so if he can play at the weight that he is now, I got to believe, Gary, that that's going to really help him out in terms of, you know, his feet and everything associated with that. Because, you know, this team is not going to get to where they want to be if he's playing 59 or 65 games a year. I said this last week. I want to see DeMarcus Cousins play at least 75 games this year. Now, 2 years ago, I give him a pass because he had meningitis, and that's just that's bad luck. And fortunately, you know, he was able to, you know, overcome that. That's just bad luck. But last year, again, you know, he missed, I believe, 17 or 18 games. You know, you cannot, all right, you cannot be, you know, one of the elite players in the NBA and play, you know, 60 or 65 games, all right? If he wants to be that guy, he's got to play the majority of the games, all right? And for him, if he's able to maintain his weight, I would think that's going to help his feet and everything with it, because if the Kings are going to have any success at all, it's going to be on the back of DeMarcus Cousins. But he has to be on the floor. He can't miss as many games as he's missed the last couple of years. I think the number I have for him is 75 plus, all right? That means he could miss 7 games. That, to me, should be his goal. Play at least 75 games this year.
I think that's a terrific take. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, thank you. Let's get to Blaz. You're on with Grant Napier. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, Grant. How you doing
today? I'm good. What's happening?
Good. Hey, Grant, as you know, I'm a big Steelers fan. I want to know what you thought of the game, how they got beat so bad. Were they just out-coached? Were they... Was the Eagles just more physical? What was your take on
that? Everything that could possibly go wrong for the Pittsburgh Steelers went wrong. They didn't look to me like they were ready to play. They went in there, in my opinion, I don't know if they didn't take Philadelphia seriously. They came in at 2-0. They were pounding their chest. You know, the one thing I am not sold on with Pittsburgh right now is their pass defense is not very good, and we saw it again on Sunday.
I saw that, yeah.
You know, they get Blunt back this week, so that's going to help, obviously. But they got beat on every aspect of the game. They got beat in all aspects of the game.
Yes, they did. Yeah, that's what I thought. Thank you, Grant. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
It is my pleasure. All right. We will be with you coming up for our number 4. Again, the update in Major League Baseball. And again, we're going to focus in on the games that are affecting the San Francisco Giants. The Reds lead by the score of 1-0. That has now gone to the bottom of the second. All right, 1-0 in favor of Cincy. And the Mets, after losing last night in a very emotional game between the Mets and the Miami Marlins, have a sizable lead right now. That game has gone into the sixth, and it is 4-1 in favor of the Mets. We'll be right back. The Grant Napier Show on Sports 1140 KHTK.